There's just no, you ever find sometimes there's just no sweet way of things, saying things or beating around the bush? How many of you know that sometimes you can't beat around the bush? Would you prefer I beat around the bush, or you want to just brace yourselves, okay? Brace yourselves. I don't remember whether I was separated or divorced at that time. I think I was separated, and I think my brother called. He was encouraged by my former wife to call me and talk to me. That's the first and the last time we talked. Well, I hate to keep going around it, but because I know that God is greater than our successes, and He's greater than our failures, amen?
Amen.
And He stays with us through thick and thin. And so, my former wife and I did get a divorce, but I remember the name, and I remember the phone call you made to me, and to have you come back here to your church, and to have you sit there, and to have, I mean, does anybody believe that God is kind of like, what's he doing here? I mean, who could have arranged that? That he's calling me up in Seattle, and now I'm standing here with the title, and he's sitting there. Would you bless this pastor who served you so well as he comes to share? Come on.
Wow. It's just wonderful to be here. This place means a lot to us. More than you could imagine. Just driving back here, we are in Lethbridge attending a conference. And we said, we have to go back to Belt. And I'm driving here. My wife is trying to take pictures. She's so excited and nervous at the same time. Nervous about a lot of changes. We know a lot of our friends have gotten older. And but see, there's something about God that He never changes. No matter what you go through, no matter the changes around you, if you read the book of Colossians, one of the things that you see Paul argues very well is that Jesus Christ has preeminence. He's above all. He's bigger than anything. He's not just one of many. He is God. And that when things around you change, when your friends get older, your parents are getting older, and then you begin to forget things, when the neighborhood changes, you know, we drive in here and we say, that's a new house. We never left that. Oh, that's so-and-so's house. Some things are familiar, some things are completely different. But you and I can rely on this one thing, that you put your faith in a God that will never change. That blesses my heart. So I come back here and I'm excited to meet my brother and to meet some of you for the first time. And then, you know, some of you we've known each other for many, many years. Pastor Harry and Joyce, Bob and Jim, and everybody else. I'm so excited to see you. It's just wonderful. So you guys are still serving the God that you put your faith in many, many years ago. And even when things around you have changed, your faith in God has remained the same. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless you, Christ.
Thank you. Chairs, but we've got them hiding. We're ready for the people to come. Delighted to benefit by all that you've done, all the foundational work,
all the messages you gave, all the people you touched. And the good word you just gave. He is above everything. Beyond everything. In spite of everything. When everything is falling apart, and you feel, what in the world is happening? He yet is greater than everybody, everything, every circumstance ever happening. Everything that's ever happened. He is above that. And His Spirit is here today to strengthen those who are here.
So, brother, this is how it happened.
Once upon a time, after hiding for 19 years, my son is back there, way in the back, watching everything, and he lived here, and he kept after me, and after me, and after me, and I had two sons to tell him. So I decided to come back, I had gone up to an Assembly of God camp. I was raised in the Assemblies in the Great Falls, Central Assembly, West Side Assembly. But I went up to the camp not to be spiritual. I went up there to get away from fireworks. I'm not a fan of fireworks. So last year, I had some relatives up there, and I said, I'm going to go up to Hungry Horse and hide out there. And so I did. And I didn't know that Hungry Horse was the firework capital of Montana. All the mountains are around, and so if it goes, boom, it goes, I said, you got it. They actually shut down the highway in Hungry Horse and stopped traffic. You can't even drive through there. It's horrible. So I thought that wasn't so smart on my part. So I went to a place I knew because I'd grown up in that camp, and it was the prayer room, which I've been in that room before, not necessarily to pray. Okay, how many know anything about camp? Big camps. You know, sometimes you do a lot of things that aren't spiritual. Amen? Well, I was gone in there just to talk one time, so I knew where it was. And I knew it had soft seats. And I was sitting in that area of the camp at Hungry Horse, minding my own business, and I thought I heard the Lord said, next Sunday, why don't you go and drop in on Pastor Harry out in this big city called... Thank you. That was your part. How many of you think that God's speaking to you, but you're not sure? Wouldn't it be great if He would indeed write things on the wall? Well, He does sometimes, but He didn't. What have I got to lose? What could go wrong in Belt? I remember thinking that. And I came here the next Sunday, July 9th, I think it was. And I came and sat here early. Nobody was here. And I looked back, and Pastor Harry is sitting in the very back row by himself. So I walked up to Pastor Harry. I got here early. My dad was like Pastor Harry. Oh, you had to be there half an hour early or you're late. Remember that story? So I walked back to see Pastor Harry. And he says, what are you doing here? Did you take a wrong turn? Because he and I used to work together in Great Falls. I used to work with him 10 years at Calvary. And he was the senior pastor there, and I worked for him, so we had that history. I said, no, I just felt to come out. And the service went on, and as you all know, at the end of the service, the former pastor spoke a good sermon. I was writing it down as fast as I could so I could use it, you know what I'm saying? And at the end of the service, he resigned. Right then. And I said to myself, okay, not sure what's happening here in Belt, but I know that it wasn't my doing. I just got here. I had done plenty in my life, but I know this time wasn't mine. I just got here. How could it be? And as I headed out the door, I felt this strong arm of the Lord in the personhood of Harry Nesbitt. He said, "Where are you going?" I was going out. I didn't know what was going on, but I knew that it wasn't for me. And he had essentially said to me at that time, will you be the, he used the word preacher then. And I said, "Where?" He said, "Here, for a while anyhow." And everything in me wanted to say, "What did you say to me when I come to you? I'm good." Is that what you said? That's exactly what I wanted to say to Harry. I wanted to say, "Harry, I'm good." I don't know if Harry would have, well, that wasn't my question, whether you're good or not. I wanted to say, "I'm good," and goodbye. And couldn't do it. You see, the part I didn't tell of the story up in, that I forgot, up in Honduras, was, I thought the Lord spoke to me and said, "Go to Belt and you will be strengthened." Me. Because I didn't come here to strengthen you. What's that all about? I didn't come here to strengthen y'all. I came here to be strengthened. What in the world was wrong with Harry? And that's how I came here. And then some changes have taken place, but we are one body of Christ. We are able, I see that sign that the big PBS has back there on the window. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." Isaiah 43:2. And so we pass through a few waters, and here we are. Amen?
Yeah.
We are alive. We bless those that are here. We bless those that have left. But we particularly bless you this morning. And thank you for coming. And not happy about the way you snuck up on me. But delighted that you're here. Pastor Joe is coming, and I know I've taken a bit of his time, but that is what the Lord would have me do. And so Pastor Joe is coming to share whatever he cares to show at this time. In part of being strengthened, Brother Julie and Sister Julie, Pastor Joe and his wife Terry, who have been a part of ministry in Great Falls for 40 years, in different levels and in different churches. He drives all the way from Valley View. I don't know if you know Great Falls. Valley View is like just next to Conrad. It's way out there. Way out there. But they drive here every Sunday to among other things, to strengthen me. And so, at this time, Pastor Joe, God bless you. Would you welcome Pastor Joe to come to share?
When I saw him sitting over there, the Lord says, "You go, stop him."
Oh, me?
Yeah. You. So I went and stopped him.
Oh, that's what happened.
It wasn't just me.
You don't want to take the whole blame. You don't want to be blamed, do you, Harry?
I was praying for somebody to get me out of here.
That's right. Okay. Thank you. You're not, Harry, you're not leaving until the Lord says you are, but I guess the Lord spoke to you when you said that. Yeah. And that's why you twisted my arm right like this. Run down by a 93-year-old. That shows you how much I need to be strengthened. All right. Did we already welcome you, Joe? Are you having a good time?
Sure. Go ahead.
Is this working for you?
I'm just standing.
All right.
I guess what we're seeing, there's enough blame to go around. It's always delightful to be with the saints. I want to talk about the Lord's Supper today. last month when we partook of it, felt like the Lord spoke to me that sometime when it happens to be I'm speaking on the first of the month, I should do something about the Lord's Supper. I should speak about it. And the next day, Mark came up and said, would you mind sharing the first month, the first week of next month, which is today? So I thought, well, that's a pretty good sign, maybe, that I should do that. What I'm going to share this morning is not brand new to any of you, at least in the truth of it. Some of the application may differ a little bit as we get toward the end, but on purpose, I'm going to belabor some of this that you already know, because I want to get it from your head to your heart. I want you to get it in your thought process, though. And so we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper in just a little bit, but I want to read from 1 Corinthians to open. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're to remember him and proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner and brings judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, I'll turn this down just a little, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the word. The Lord's Supper is known by numerous names. The early church called it the Love Feast or the Agape Feast for the perfect love of God. It's also known as the Eucharist. The Eucharist, which means the giving of thanks. And communion. Actually, in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, the cup of blessing which we bless is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of one loaf. First thing I want to speak about is the Lord's body. Two aspects of the Lord's body. First of all, the Lord's Supper is all about him. It's all about him and the work on the cross. Do this in remembrance of him. Remember Jesus, his physical body here on earth. Remember that. Remember what he did. We go to Isaiah chapter 53. We see the prophet speaking about our Lord. Verse 1, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of the parched ground. He has no stately form and majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Jesus wasn't one of the beautiful people. We live in a day when our culture worships beautiful people, Hollywood types, so forth. And as the last time when I spoke, I believe we talked about, and God doesn't want us to be infatuated with them. We're not to look to them. We're not to think of them more highly than we should. We need to see the eternal effervescence of what's in us and what that is, and the people will respond to that in us as we speak His truth. We hear success stories. People pulled themselves up by their bootstraps, made a success of themselves. Well, not us. Not in this sense. We're not here today because we did it our way. He did it because we did it His way. The way of the despised man. Rejected by men. He didn't look like a savior. Hanging there on the cross, carrying the cross, being scourged. He didn't look like a savior. Didn't look like it at all. In fact, one of the centurions said, "Well, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." They mocked him. And it says, "And we hid, as it were, our faces from him." Were the witnesses there from Jesus embarrassed? There's our Savior on the cross. Blood from his back, blood from his hands, blood from his side. He was bloody. I want you to picture that. Verse 4 of Isaiah says, "Surely our griefs he himself bore." In the Hebrew, the word griefs has to do with afflictions, has to do with disease, has to do with sickness. And he bore our sorrows. In Hebrew, the sorrow has to do with pain. He took our pain. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions, for our rebellion, for our waywardness. I'll do it my way, Lord. And the chastening of our well-being fell upon him. He was pressed for our iniquities, which has to do with our wickedness. And it says, by his scourging. The Romans would scourge a condemned criminal before he was put to death. The Roman scourge was a short whip made of two or three leather thongs or ropes and connected to a handle. The leather thongs were knotted with a number of small pieces of metal attached at various intervals. Scourging would quickly remove the skin. Deep lacerations tore flesh, exposed muscles, and excessive bleeding would leave the criminal half dead. Many of the criminals did die, but didn't get by this scourge. But it was necessary to keep the criminal alive in order to crucify him. And so the centurion in charge would halt the flogging when they thought that the criminal was near death. By his torture, we are healed. By his torture. Verse 6, it said, "We, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus, the divine substitution for all of our sin, for our healing, our needs, our personal, mental, psychological, physical, spiritual wholeness comes from this divine transaction. And we should remember how he died, willingly, meekly, showing his love for each one of us. Each one of us. He gave his body into the hands of wicked men. They didn't take his life. The word says he gave his life. He knew what he was doing on the cross. One of the things that used to bother him was to think that it says that the Father rejoiced at this. How could the Father rejoice at his son being tortured and dying? He rejoiced because he knew why he was doing it. He knew he was setting us all free. Yeah. Our sins, our needs, our wholeness was dependent on that one moment. He took away the sins of the world. Second thing I want to talk about the Lord's body is that we do have a part in it. It is about us too. As we remember his broken body, we're reminded that his brokenness paved the way for us not to be broken. That we are his body on earth. And this shows a classic principle of God. Where God wants to do something, he takes it, and he blesses it, and he breaks it, and then he uses it. You don't walk with the Lord in unbrokenness. Very useful at all. God can use anything, don't get me wrong, but if you want to be used by the Lord, it comes on the cross. The cross is where our will and God's will meet for that near ago. We need to realize that we're one. In 1 Corinthians 10 it says, "For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we partake of that one bread." Discerning the body has to do with seeing that we are part of a body. The church is the body of Christ. Not just this part, but all of it. Even the parts that you don't agree with. You know the Lord's big enough to have a church that's as diverse as it is? When I was younger in the Lord, I realized after a while that every group I was with, they're the ones that had the real truth. And so if you didn't like the real truth here, you could move to the real truth over here. But the truth of God is so complex and is so full circle that what may seem to be a lie can be the truth. In fact, the truth without the spirit of truth is as it were lie. The Corinthians had problems. There were various cliques in the church, and people ate with their own buddies and crowd and family and shunned some of the others. They would eat before they had the actual elements. And so the rich people would bring food and not share it with the poor ones. They were pretty good at not sharing their food, but they were pretty good at examining others. And so they took the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And they can grant judgment on themselves. And we'll talk about that in maybe a few minutes. But I want to talk right now about the Lord's blood. The life is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. On the Day of Atonement, the priest would go and he'd get two goats, lambs, and they would bring in, cast lots for them. One lot went on one of the goats that was taken and sacrificed. His blood was shed for the atonement of the God of Israel. Atonement means to cover. They covered the sins for another year. The other goat that it fell on became the scapegoat. And this is where we get the term scapegoat. And they brought it, and the priest laid his hands on the head of the goat and imparted the sins of Israel on that goat. And then sent him off in the wilderness not to be found again, removing the sin from the camp. Atonement means to cover, remission means to remove, basically. Jesus came not to cover our sins, but to remove our sins. In the Old Testament, the blood came from bulls and goats. It says in Hebrews 9, according to the law, in fact, nearly everything must be purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. In the New Testament, the redemption comes from the blood of Jesus in Hebrews 9. But Christ came as high priest for the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands. That is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most high and holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. As I said, I'm going to read some scriptures here. I want you to take this in as we prepare ourselves for the elements. The power of the blood of Jesus is shown, first of all, in the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In Matthew 26 it says, My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. So we're rescued out of sin. 1 Peter 1, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. We are rescued from a life lived devoid of meaning and brought into relationship with God through his blood, and the ability to live in his will with purpose. Through the blood, we're progressively cleansed from the past and future sin. Jesus suffered in order to sanctify the people through his own blood, it says in Hebrews 13. After we are forgiven of our sins, it makes sense that God wants us to be in a new relationship with the sin that previously condemned us. That is why he gives us the power through the blood of his Son to be cleansed from our sinful behaviors. The blood of Jesus also cleanses us in our conscience. Hebrews 9, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. This is great news for us that we have a sinful past, and a few of us here do. The great thing about the blood of Christ, it gives us access to God. Hebrews 10, we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. And Ephesians 2, now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. The last thing I want to say about this is that we're able to conquer the accuser of the brethren. Revelation. And they conquered him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The work of the body and the blood of Jesus was completed at the cross when he said, it's finished. It's finished. This morning I want to take a minute as we look at the Lord's Supper and realize that it's part of God's delivery system to us. Part of the delivery system in which his provision and blessing is released in our lives. It's a time to receive and enjoy his love through consciously thinking of his finished work. But we just talked about very basic things about the blood of Jesus, about his body, that we are the body on earth, so forth. And it says, many are sick, some even die, because they don't discern the Lord's body. One of the ways we discern the Lord's body, or remember the Lord's body, is through the Lord's Supper. And he's encouraging us in the Lord's Supper to remember him, his work on the cross. Why? Life flows through all that. When we eat the bread, it's time to release our faith to receive his health and wholeness in exchange for our sickness and disease. Release our faith. Back when I was a young minister, I remember Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts came out with this little tiny book back in the early 70s. It was called Point of Contact. Laying on hands when we pray for healing, that's a point of contact. You know that touching your forehead doesn't do anything if God doesn't do it. The point of contact is a way. Was it Peter Paul had sent handkerchiefs out and the recipients were healed through point of contact? Today we want to use the bread as a point of contact in the cup. When we drink from the cup, we're reminding ourselves of the blood of the sinless Son, we were made forever righteous and blameless in God's sight. And we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We proclaim the healing power, the saving power, the eternal power of God in our lives in remembering him. When we take the elements, we're declaring to ourselves and to the principalities and powers that his finished work avails to us. We're not trying to be forgiven, righteous, healed, made whole, favored, or protected. We are forgiven, righteous, healed, made whole, favored, and protected. That's our position. Our position. Now, some days our condition may not feel like our position. We talked about that before. But as we partake of the elements, let's take the time we need to see the Lord's finished work revealing itself for us personally. Think about it as we disperse this. Take the loaf and think about the finished work. The scourging. I don't know when that whip came down on his back the first time, how much that hurt. And I don't know how many times that happened before he was probably in shock. Maybe didn't feel it. I don't know. But it was gruesome. The cross is not a piece of jewelry. It's not art. That's right. An altar is a place of death. Yeah. We fancy up altars sometimes. His broken body for our personal health and healing is what we are remembering today. He shed his blood for our complete forgiveness and righteousness. The Lord's Supper becomes a time of receiving the benefits that he died to give us. So as you eat the bread, a moment, discern that it is his body. See in your mind's eye. In your mind's eye, his stricken body, beaten, torn, broken, for your healing. I know this may sound gruesome, but it's life. If you see him at the scourging post, taking the stripes, and you tell yourself, surely he has borne my sickness, my disease, my pain. As we partake of the cup, be conscious that he hung on the cross to pay for our redemption. Rejoice, he has made a way for us to come boldly to his presence and find grace and mercy to help in time of need. As we examine ourselves, it means simply that when we partake of the elements, we are to judge ourselves in the light of his finished work. First Corinthians 11 says that if we judge ourselves, we will not suffer basically the curse of aging, degeneration, sickness, and death, which are judgments of sin. It says we won't die early. The Lord's Supper is a blessing to be received because of his goodness and finished work. Don't look at yourself, for I confess sin, to see if you're worthy enough to partake. That's done. That's done. See how the blood of Jesus has made you worthy to stand boldly before Him this morning. Psalm 23, it says that in the presence of our enemies, in the midst of our symptoms, our back, our pains, our lack, God has prepared a table for us. Let's come boldly to the table prepared for us. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took the bread. Bless them. Father, we ask you to bless this globe that speaks of your body, speaks of us. We know that as this globe is torn and broken as your body was, as we partake of it, it becomes one again. I just want to say, without trying to break the mood, that we have plenty. We have enough bread here for belt. So, if you ever wanted to take part in the Lord's Supper and wanted more than just a little bit, today's your day. Sickness and disease, for declaring that by your stripes, by the lashes on your back,
thank you.
I am completely healed.
Thank you.
I believe I receive your resurrected body and the life in that body and mine. Take and eat the body of Jesus broken for you. Receive his healing. Thank you. his blood. Father, we thank you.
Thank
you. For the shed blood that washes us whiter than the snow. The blood that has brought me and each of us into a covenant relationship with you. We partake of this cup. We celebrate the finished work of the cross. Life eternal. The cup of the new covenant in his blood for you. Play that again. Supper is the work of the cross. The blessing of it is that you can do it anytime. He says, for whenever. Whenever you partake, remember me. You can use the Lord's Supper in your homes. You can use it camping. You can use it at work. If you can sneak by. You can do it after dinner. The important thing is to remember him and the work of the cross. That's where your healing comes from. That's where your salvation comes from. That's where the issues of life come from. And so, allow the Lord to strengthen you, to live longer, to live healthier, understanding the power this Lord said. Amen. Amen. Lead us out in that song again. We'll sing it and be dismissed. Yep. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can we do that one again?
And wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Who can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you. You are dismissed. Thank you very much. Bless you.